Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for sharing this time with us here on the program that brings you New Paradigms for a New World and choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We broadcast at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays and 1 a.m. Monday mornings. And we also have the podcasts at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. We also link to our guests' websites. We'll give you that web address shortly, and then you can continue your research and investigation and just basically find out everything there is to find out about what our guests will be talking about on these programs. Today is no exception. We're going to be talking about a couple of things. Obviously, health and wellness and healing are sort of at the top of my list, along with some other subjects that we've talked about many times over the past 10-plus years doing this program. But also, we're going to discuss the whole aspect of the nature of matter. And actually, we're going to expand upon that, the secret nature of matter. Maybe we'll get into a conversation a little bit. If our guest is open to that, and that is to talk about this concept I keep hearing about and have been hearing about for a number of years, this whole thing about dark matter that for a long time they used to say, well, you know, we can't see it, it's not tangible, but we know it's there. And apparently they've found proof that it is there, and it's like the space between, shall we say, the space between the stars. That's why you can't see it, because, well, it's, but something's got to hold that space to hold the planets and all of the universe in the suspension that it's in. And maybe we'll get into that. Who knows? We're talking with the author of The Secret Nature of Matter, as well as Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal. And we could use a lot of that in this day and age. Richard Gordon is my guest. Richard, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Well, Richard, great to be here. My pleasure.
Now, it's interesting, the secret nature of matter certainly dovetails, actually, more than that, straight into this whole aspect of healing. I happen to be a Reiki master, so I have a moderately good understanding of the way that this energy is supposed to work and how we send it to others. And in the case of Reiki, that, you know, you're not sending it to do anything other than assist the person to do what it is they want to do. My father's brother was diagnosed with cancer, and we asked for a picture, my wife and I did. We were going to do an absentee healing. We sent the energy. And supposedly, the report came back to me from my mom that a few days after that, he got really angry and threw his medications up against the wall, got into his wheelchair and wheeled across the compound where they lived to his son's house, where they had a wonderful, I guess, closure experience. And I guess the next day he passed.
Wow.
Now, some would say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean? I thought you were doing that to heal him. No, I think that's the misnomer. And that's one of the things, too, even in Orthodox medicine. You know, I'm always asking the question when, you know, you hear these stories of people who are being kept alive by machines and so forth. It's like, when is the medical community going to know when to say when and let the person go? I mean, these are tough, tough questions. Don't get me wrong. But this whole aspect of the energy and healing, let's talk about this aspect in regards to Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, and this whole aspect of, I guess I'm trying to think of the other phrase, basically to support one another. Isn't that really what we're kind of leaning towards, is that aspect?
Well, the whole way that I was able to discover the intersection of consciousness and matter was through energy healing. So it all fundamentally comes from energy healing, the way that I was able to discern these things. And I started my practice in energy healing back in the mid-70s. So I've been doing it for quite some time now. And I went to a doctor and he said, let's wait till you get worse. He said, you got a lot of symptoms, skin, lungs, intestine, but there's nothing big enough for me to treat yet, so come back when you get worse. And I thought, well, that's the worst advice I ever heard in my life. So I went to a holistic health school, learned about something called polarity therapy, wrote a book on the subject, and just before the book came out, I met this extraordinary gentleman named Robert Rasmussen, and he was telling tall tales about a broken bone spontaneously healing or dissolving a large tumor the size of a grapefruit in an hour, and I didn't believe anything he said. And then he said, oh yeah, I just touch people and the bones move back into place, you know, they melt back. And my girlfriend gets up to the front of the room. I'm sitting 8 feet away, and I'm watching him put his hands on her hips, and the hips roll right back into alignment. My jaw dropped. I watched him touch the occipital bone and her shoulders and other parts, and I'm seeing her scoliosis all but straighten out before my eyes. I learned in that day that I could start to do this myself, and then I 20 years later, I had taken over in his retirement, I had apprenticed with him, and I wrote a book called Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal. Now, almost everybody interested in this subject want to know how they can help accelerate the healing process, bring down inflammation, bring down pain. That's what 99% of the people are interested in. But I developed a fascination way beyond that stuff. And I was able to put pieces together over the decades that led me to be able to have an empirical test to understand the intersection of matter and consciousness. And that's where it all leads to over time.
And that's interesting, that connection between matter and consciousness, because we're all looking for that next level. I talk to my guests many times, and I want to talk to you a little bit about this, about our evolution as a species. Now, on the one hand, obviously with what you and I, because you are down in Los Angeles, I'm up here in Santa Barbara, mm-hmm. the year of 2017 have had to deal with numerous wildfires throughout the state, both in Northern California and, of course, in Central and Southern California. And, of course, a lot of information is being thrown out there that supports the reasons why it's happening and so forth. And I remember when I was working back in Phoenix, Arizona for a religious radio station, and I remember an evangelist by the name of Pat Robertson, who during hurricane season was telling people that this hurricane, and I don't remember the name of it, that was headed towards the Carolinas, I think where their studios and so forth were, he was going to pray so that it wouldn't move onshore and, you know, do all the devastation that hurricanes tend to do. And it turned. Now, some might say, well, you know, being skeptical, hey, that might have happened anyway. But am I correct? Science has basically said to us that everything is energy. Everything is, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so even our consciousness is energy. And so if we were to focus our consciousness in a particular direction, could we not, as it is said biblically, that we could move mountains?
Okay. We're really kind of going into a few different areas simultaneously and then overlapping some thoughts, but it's all good. It's great stuff. Yes, 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 and no.
Okay, very good.
All matter is energy, and it can be interchanged, and that's part of what Einstein was all about, was showing that matter was actually energy. But the energy that we're using for healing, that you're using in Rei Ki, the Ki, the Chi, the Prana, that as the Indian yogis call it, this is energy in the sense that it causes work on the physical plane, but it is not considered energy by the scientists, because they only believe, for the most part, greatly the most part, that things that are real can be weighed, measured, or put into a formula. And the, quote, energy that we're working with cannot be quantified. It is a spiritual energy. See, a lot of people in the healing business compare the energy of healing and also use the words of electromagnetism to describe that energy. But it is not electromagnetism. Electromagnetism falls off inversely to the square of the distance of the source, meaning if you're 5 feet away, the energy is twice as strong as if you're 7 feet away.
Square Which would make
five
sense.
Is 25.
Yeah, it would make sense, yeah.
But with distant healing, you can be on the other side of the world or on Mars and send the energy just as well, because we're not dealing with a physical energy, and that is the part that just drives people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I developed a simple test where back when in 1978, when I found out the bones would move under a light touch, and I would guarantee all my students on the first day of a quantum touch workshop that they could move bones into alignment immediately before lunch break or their money back. And no one ever failed. It's that easy. It's a basic human skill. You get right away. No symbols, no attunements, no nothing, just breathing, body awareness, love, intention. It works right away. But then about 8-9 years ago, I found out that I could do it without even touching people, and I could work 2 or 3 times faster. And then I found a technique where I could do it so it didn't just temporarily align the hips and the cranial bones, but it would do it for the rest of their life. And that takes a very short time. But the thing that completely blew me away, and like I say, this is a long-term evolutionary process,
mm-hmm.
It was 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, and my friend Daniel said, you know, if you make a movie of yourself doing a healing session, people watching the movie may receive healing. I go, oh, come on. How can I believe that? He said, test it. So how can I test it in an empirical way that I can absolutely know the result? Well, no one has the ability to spontaneously untwist their hips. It looks like, you know, people call it a long leg or a short leg. And no one has the ability at all to change the position of their cranial bones, especially the occipital bones. And I can measure it in 2 seconds, and I can get a yes or no answer. Either it does or it does not work, and I'll know it right away. So what happened is I made a selfie movie of myself meditating, and when I played the movie for people, it was starting to untwist their hips and occipital bones. And then I took it a step further, and I had this brainstorm, and I had this idea and put the energy and intention into a golf tee that happened to be in my pocket. And when I handed the golf tee to people, it untwisted their posture. By the time I had done about 8 or 9 experiments, including one to see if I was fooling myself, where I gave somebody a charged quarter, and he would either hand it to people or not hand it to people, and I'd come back into the room, and I would know within a second or two whether he had handed it to them by whether their hips were twisted or not. I started keeping a journal, and I eventually ran 58 experiments to explore the lawfulness of when it was working and when it was working and what it meant. And that led to my newest book, my fourth book, The Secret Nature of Matter.
Wow. So the one word that came to my mind when you're talking about that golf tee, or even for that matter, the video that you made, the word comes to mind, I'm thinking, no, that's not an accurate word, but it sounded to me like the golf tee and or the video were infused with that, as you've described it, that spiritual energy.
Yes.
So that no matter how many times and over how many years from this point forward that people come in contact with either A, the golf tee, or B, that video, they are going to receive a result from it, a positive healing result.
You're absolutely correct. And it fooled me because this is one of my later discoveries. It was an incomplete understanding.
Ah, okay.
It just gets so exciting.
First, yeah.
I tested it on all kinds of matter, glass, plastic, rubber, paper, pebbles, water, you name it. I ran experiments to find out when does it work, when doesn't it work. Well, it worked on all kinds of matter. All matter is made of subatomic God stuff. And that's a new technical term I invented. But everything is made of spiritual consciousness and energy. So then I wanted to see, how can I make this fail? And I boiled water that I had meditated on. And when I let it cool, I took the water and it worked. It hadn't lost the energy information. But the water that had evaporated on the lid of the pot did not work. So once it had changed state, it no longer held that energy together. So what happens is, one of the great discoveries that came from this was, I eventually created a charged and entangled object, a pendant, and was passing it out to people. And I thought that if an object was charged and I handed it to somebody, it would immediately cause the shift in their posture, but I was wrong. And this is the point that you were getting to, because you have to hand it to them with that intent. So I can have people who know nothing about my work hand somebody one of our pendants, and with the intention of aligning them. And if they touch them with that intention of alignment, it immediately causes the posture to align. But if I just hand somebody the pendant, it does not cause that alignment. That was that distinction that I was saying, yes and no. Yes, it'll always hold that charge as far as I know. Actually, I've only tested it for about 2 years now. I haven't tested it for 200 years, so I'm not sure if it's forever. But as long as I've tested it, it's still holding.
Now, you have been discussing this in the context of the basic skeletal structure, the yes, framework of the physical body. But even from everything else that you've discussed, it's not exclusive to the physical structure. Like, for example, someone who may have cancer, or yes, who may have some other debilitating disease. What about say psychological, maybe mental issues that they're suffering?
I'm jumping on ahead really quickly. Let me back up a little
bit. Sure, go ahead.
99% of everybody's interest in quantum touch is bringing down pain, inflammation. We just conducted a clinical study that's been published in a peer-reviewed journal, where 41 people with high levels of pain, mostly from arthritis, fibromyalgia, or from accidents. They all each received a random one-hour session from one of our practitioners. The average was a 67.4% reduction in their pain. And what I found most interesting was there were 50 pain conditions listed in these people's surveys. All 50 conditions had a positive response to pain. That's what most people are concerned about. No one cares about the phases of Venus, but that's how Galileo was able to discern the Earth was going around the sun. Nobody cares about the position of a star during a solar eclipse, but that's how they were able to validate Einstein and gravitational lensing. 99% of the people aren't going to care about postural alignment, but it's how I can discern that the body and matter are responding to consciousness.
Now, I'm going to let you go ahead and continue there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is that these pendants, I created a pendant, and then I didn't get to this part of the story yet, but I learned how to group objects together in my mind. And one of the most important experiments, I think it was like experiment number 38 of the 56 I did, I discovered that when I group objects together in my mind, anything you do to any one of these objects happens to all of the objects. And then I ran the experiment the other way to prove that if they weren't entangled, it wouldn't have that effect. And it was true. And I've done many experiments to find out that what I call conscious entanglement is a real thing. It really does happen that way. So we can join these things together. When I spoke at the University of Hong Kong giving a keynote address, and the University of Macau in China, I was able to show that I could group 25 people on stage simultaneously, and with a light touch of a charged object, just brush across one woman's hair for a split second with a charged coin, for instance, you could spontaneously untwist the pelvic and occipital torsion of a whole stage full of people at once. This was a major breakthrough in the understanding that we are at cause. We are able to move our consciousness and cause major things to happen. But because this stuff is outside the box from traditional science, there are almost no universities in the world willing to examine these mysteries.
Mm. Now, once again, I'm trying to take this to the next level.
Yes.
In terms of what you have discovered and so forth in your research since the 70s. Hell, I was in my teens and trying to enter this metaphysical world that I find myself in today in terms of understanding it, in terms of finding my place in it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And what I found was that there are so many different modalities,
yes,
specifically for the healing of the human being, and that encompasses all of the various systems, structural, nervous system, et cetera, et cetera. And then I began to experience or learn about how what is going on in the world on the outside, on the external,
mm-hmm. yes,
is nothing more than a reflection of what's going on the inside, the internal of the human being.
Yes.
And that if it were possible to, as much as we'd like to send the healing Reiki energy to that troubled spot somewhere else in the world, that's not where you would begin. You've got to begin with the inner turmoil, the inner struggle. Then that will, in a manner of speaking, that would take care of the outer struggle, wouldn't it? To a greater or lesser degree?
I completely agree with you. And in fact, I didn't know I was going to get into this topic, but I have an entirely different modality that I created over a 30-year period that I call self-created health. And what it does is it helps people to discover the emotional cause of why they're creating or allowing a health condition, and sometimes a relationship or even a financial or success condition in their life. And it turns out that the body has the ability to be sick, not as a dysfunction, but a communication from their own higher consciousness. But because of the materialism in the modern world, people haven't been looking inside to see this. And it's a very simple 7-step process that leads people first to discover exactly what the emotion is that's expressing itself as a health condition, what it's really about, so that no one has any doubt about it. We nail it, absolutely. And it takes 5 to 20 minutes in most cases to just figure out exactly what it is. Then the second step is the release. The third step I call the dangerous step, because if you haven't done steps 1 and 2, you'll never succeed at step 3 and you just beat yourself up. But it's where you realize, yeah, Dad beat me up, but I've been beating myself up ever since. It's where you're able to take full responsibility for the fact that you hurt yourself by carrying this energy around. But if you haven't identified what it is and released the intensity of those emotions, then trying to take responsibility is an impossibility. You're not allowed to take apart a bridge unless you own it. So we help people own, yes, this is what caused it. This is the emotion that I was holding. Oh my God, look how I hurt myself and the people that I love. From there, they can genuinely feel remorse for having hurt themselves. And from that remorse, they can then go into this overwhelming self-forgiveness process that leads to explosive self-love, uncontainable self-love that connects them to their spirit. It's a love of God, infinite intelligence, source, everything else. Oh my God, it's overwhelming. Oh, by the way, the symptoms all disappeared, which leads me to say that I've discovered three pathways of remarkable self-healing. Let's call it a remarkable self-healing mechanism. Now, everybody knows that placebos can cause the body to do extraordinary fast self-healing, but we always discount it because it's based on dishonesty and deception. And we don't like to be lied to, even if it causes us to get well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one pathway, and that works on about one third of the time. The second pathway to stimulate that same self-healing mechanism is with energy healing, with quantum touch, with Reiki, Qigong, and so forth, other modalities, pranic healing, there's many of them. And we saw that working in our study 100% of the time. Every single condition that was being treated with energy had a response with that self-healing mechanism. The third pathway that stimulates the self-healing mechanism is emotional core honesty, release, and forgiveness that I call self-created health. And that's the most powerful because the energy healing is often symptomatic or analgesic. It can be pain relief, and it's remarkable for pain relief. It can do many things. If you burn your finger, it can take the burn away and the inflammation's going down and so forth, and there's no scarring many times. That's great. But for the deeper conditions, the ones that are most troubling to people, those things, that's much more attracted. And sometimes the only way to get to those for the long term, you can give relief with energy work, is to find the emotional cause, to release that emotional cause, and to let the person move all the way from suffering to intense gratitude.
Wow. These types of programs that we do dealing with this subject can be so liberating if we will but follow the guidelines, and they're available for us to do so. What is the website we would want people to go to so that they can not only experience this but even practice it and then begin the process of even sharing it with others? Because you, Richard Gordon, you don't have the time or the assets and the wherewithal to travel all over the world, even though you do, and train every human being on the planet to do this. It's got to be sort of self-replicating. So how do you begin that process?
We've got a website called quantumtouch.com. The website is in like 8 languages now, I believe. We just added Turkish. We've got certified practitioners working in over 50 countries. We've got hundreds of instructors teaching this around the world. And we've got the basic quantum touch that teaches everybody immediately how to start doing this before lunch break on the first day. We've got an advanced quantum touch workshop we call level 2 that teaches people how to work 2 or 3 times faster without even touching people. We have the self-created health workshops that show people how to find and work with emotional causation. We have a video workshop where people can learn online how to do it. And I've now created charged and entangled pendants. And this may be the first group talisman in the history of the world. We have about 5,000 of them currently in circulation, and everybody holding them is told to put their deepest love, gratitude, connection to source, their skills, gifts, talents, special abilities, and even peak experiences into their own pendant. These things become more powerful every day because it's holding everybody's energy. And even if you don't know anything about quantum touch, you can just touch somebody with a pendant and in most cases permanently align the hips and occipital bones. And so we now have pendants in our store as well. And then I've got 4 books that have all been bestsellers, and those are all available. So there's many different things that people can access or just get on our mailing list. We have extraordinary newsletters now with people around the world telling their stories and documenting their experiences.
Give me that website one more time.
It's quantumtouch.com.
All right, folks. QuantumTouch.com. We are going to be linked to your website as well. And we're not done yet, I guarantee you. We're just getting started here on this program. But I wanted to make sure that people have this information now, early on in the program, so that even as they're listening, they can go online and they can check this stuff out. It's really funny, too, sometimes. I will actually be on a phone call on my phone, and I'm chatting with this person, and I'll put them on speaker, and I'm checking the internet while I'm talking with them on my phone, which is extraordinary. I still remember seeing a report not long ago about the comparison between the computers that were on board the Apollo spacecraft and landing crafts, and that the technology that we are now holding in our hands here in the 21st century is like 1,000 times, if not more, than
I think it's like 1,000,000 times.
I'm going
crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Then that means I can go to the moon, right?
Maybe you're on the moon.
Hey, who not? Well, we'll talk about that here in just a few moments. I'm Richard Dugan. We are talking with an extraordinary guest here, Richard Gordon. He is the author of, four books in particular, but we're talking about the secret nature of matter as well as Quantum Touch. QuantumTouch.com is the website. We encourage you to go there, check it out. And we also encourage you to stay with us because there is a whole lot more to come. Remember, there is what's called the after view here on this program, meaning that when the radio broadcast comes to an end at the 50-minute mark, that means that we're not done. There is more to this program. Tell me your story. New Paradigms for a New World is coming right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
You know, it's amazing that I'm able to understand most of what our guest, Richard Gordon, is talking to us about, the secret nature of matter and quantum touch. Thank you for staying with us here on the program all the way from Los Angeles via Skype. And this is extraordinary because what it tells me, and I would like you to elaborate on this, but what this is starting to tell me is that this isn't just about my personal health and a lack of dis-ease and discomfort. This is potentially, if not more than that, a way for us collectively to transform our, not only our species, our civilization, our society, but this planet.
Absolutely. Well, everything depends on the evolution of consciousness. War is unsustainable, therefore it will not be sustained. And so we will either evolve ourselves to the point where we don't have to keep doing this nonsense, and we can work out our differences like civilized humans as opposed to monkeys, and we will evolve. The evolution of consciousness is very clear that the most evolved species have the capacity of experiencing compassion. They can be aware of the suffering of another, and they can do something actively to try to alleviate that suffering.
You said something there real quickly I wanted to dove on.
Yeah.
You said that eventually, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to work out our differences. To me, the real key is realizing there are no differences.
Well, that's the understanding that leads to it, that we're all in this together. We're living on this convertible spaceship that's mm-hmm. traveling through space. And it's our home, and we have to take care of it. And all of us have suffered. All of us have been traumatized. All of us are working to heal these in whatever ways we're working it out. And we're all in it together.
Yeah.
So, yes, there are no differences, but it seems like differences when we are at each other's throats.
I came up with this phrase many years ago. I haven't used it in a long time, dealing with differences. Basically goes like this. If there is a difference that makes a difference, there is a difference. But if there is a difference that makes no difference, there is no difference. And when we have these various natural disasters that I talked about earlier in the program, it not only levels the playing field, it also eliminates those differences because now everybody's in the same situation. And now it's, we see it time and time again. We saw it during the hurricane season of 2017, as well as the wildfires across the country and here in the West in 2017, where when stuff like this happens, there are other people who are not in danger, not in harm's way, who jump into action to support, to give to give food and clothing and comfort and compassion and understanding. And it's like, it's out there. It's really out there in spite of what we constantly are bombarded by in the media, both the internet as well as other forms. It's just, it's wonderful to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it gives us an opportunity to show our compassion and our caring, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, as I shared with you earlier, I've been through 9 or 10 fires here in Santa Barbara since we moved here, and my emotions gradually changed as each fire came along, starting with fear, but now it's more, and I'm starting to shift out of this as well, more out of anger and frustration, not just because of the inconvenience, but because of the harm that it puts others, not just myself, in.
Exactly.
And for the first time this year, we were, in 2017, we were evacuated from our home for 10 days. And yet there were people who were willing to take us in and support us in that fashion. So yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And I guess one of the hardest things for us to understand as a society in particular, maybe it's as a species, is when you get the media coverage of a lot of the despicable behavior, as we would maybe describe it, by people around the world. I mean, not just in this country, but around the world. And that gets, you know, pushed on us. We start to think that everybody that doesn't think the way we do is that way, is that despicable, is that vile and atrocious, and I don't want anything to do with them. But, you know, we're all, you know, if you will, in the same boat together, regardless of our behavior. And I think that's something else. I'm wondering if this whole process that you have been researching over the many years, has it shown you how people have begun the process of actually changing themselves, and i.e. evolving or raising their own consciousness?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Well, we're all in this together. And the more we're able to consciously be aware of the group mind and our own impact on that, the more impact we're going to have.
Okay. So it would behoove us certainly to go to quantumtouch.com to get further information, pick up a copy of a Quantum Touch, the power to heal. Let's talk a little bit more about the secret nature of matter. What is that secret? If you can share that with, it's just you and me. We're just talking here, and you know, I don't know.
I would say that ultimately, all matter, I mean, this is a conclusion from all these experiments, and everything points to the idea that first, all matter is made of God stuff.
Okay.
It is all consciousness. It is all spiritual stuff. If you were to take Mount Everest and put it in a black hole, it would be compressed to the size of a grain of sand, because we're 99.9999999% empty space. But I believe that we are 99.99999% spiritual being wearing these meat suits. Another big piece of the secret is that our energy and intention has a real powerful and even physiological impact on the outer reality. And another secret is that matter can be entangled with consciousness so that objects can hold and store energy, and that energy can have a profound healing impact on people and pets and so forth. So everything in the book, I think I drew maybe 24 strong implications from these discoveries, and everything points that we are living in a spiritual reality and are spiritual beings. And you can't prove it empirically, but there is so much evidence based on these discoveries that say this, we're in a spiritual life, we're spiritual beings, and we're living in a spiritual reality. And if we live with these blinders on that say the only things real can be weighed, measured, or put into a formula, we have completely limited ourselves to understand the real nature of this reality that we live in.
Let's talk. I'd like to bring in another aspect to this. The biblical passage from Genesis is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and so forth. And there are those who say that things that are created, that exist in the physical world, started with, quote-unquote, a thought. And then it was spoken. Now, again, we go back to the same thing. Everything's energy. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, but you've actually added an interesting definition between just matter energy as opposed to consciousness energy. And so I'm curious, which would this word that was in the beginning, and again, we're not talking religiously here, that's the spiritual energy that we're talking about that then brings matter into a solid form and created the universe, et cetera, you and me and physics, our meat suits and so on and so forth?
I think so. I think that's exactly how it works, that we are spiritual beings, and the spiritual energy, as I understand it, is operating on a frequency that is incapable of being dense enough to be physical. So it has to step down its vibration manyfold until it can hold this particular density we call rocks and people and water and so forth. But the density we think is real, but I think this density is the illusion, and the reality is our love. Reality is the emotions that we feel. The reality is our connection to Source. That is the deeper reality. While we live in Vedanta philosophy talks about everything that we perceive is Maya, or another word for that is illusion. Mm-hmm. And so I think that everything is kind of backwards, because we think that the rock is physical, but the rock is actually an illusion. And many, many years ago, I used to have like real blood sugar problems, pretty severe. And three different friends, this was in my atheist days, three different friends told me to go see a healer. And his name was Reverend Harold Plume. You can look him up sometime if you want to. Mm-hmm. And he was known to be a psychic surgeon working out of Seaside, California. So I made an appointment months in advance. I traveled to Seaside. I saw the guy. I was completely astounded because I actually got to see him put his hands inside my body.
Wow.
And I was just dumbfounded. And then he continued to, I stayed around during lunchtime, and I had all these assumptions of what it meant to be a healer. And he was eating a bologna sandwich on white bread. And I thought you had to have like this super, although I eat a great diet now, I thought you had to like live this impeccable life. And even while he had his hands inside me, he was telling a joke to his wife. And I thought you had to concentrate and be impeccable. And it just blew away a lot of my spiritual materialism, where I thought, oh, you have to dress in white and light candles and sit in a special posture and have the right beads and play the right music and paint the walls lavender and on with this nonsense, when it really wasn't about that at all. It's our connection. It's our ability to transcend the very common mundane things that we assume are our limitations.
Transcend the illusion.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
There's a great comedian. I love the way he phrased it too. That we're all living in an illusion. It's a delusion, and on and on and on. And it's just one of those things where we get so easy. We are so easily distracted by this illusion, the Maya of the material world. And yeah, I know that there are groups of people around the world who have cloistered themselves in monasteries and other such structures and so forth, and caves, to just practice whatever it is that they're practicing from what they have been taught, or maybe what they've come upon and said, you know, I want to do this the rest of my life. I want to sit in the lotus position in a cave in Tibet somewhere, and I'm just going to, you know, meditate and om until I leave the body. Well, I've heard it said that there are these folks who do this are part of that energy that is actually right now sort of holding things together on this planet to some degree. That if they all stopped, you think things are bad now, if that's your perception, you ain't seen nothing, because now we don't have that spiritual glue that is being administered by these folks who are trying to, as the phrase goes, hold the space for us so that we can start to bring ourselves up.
Well, there's two points of view on this. And the point of view that you're suggesting, which I also agree with, but I also agree with an opposite point of view that you had projected earlier, which is that it's all ultimately a self-created reality, and there is no out there. Mm. There is no other. That is just me, which is you, from your point of view. And so you change the inner and the outer changes. Mm. And part of your reality creation is that there is tens of thousands of people in these monasteries who are dedicating their life to raising consciousness. But I'm dedicated my life to raising consciousness in myself, for my world, and wanting to encourage other people to make their spiritual growth their top priority.
I'm speaking in paradoxical terms, in a manner of speaking. And I've also noticed, too, when I start pondering the universe and the solar system and the galaxy and so forth, and of course things are hurtling around, they're moving, everything is in motion. And in the material world, in our universe, and the universe itself is just, it's doing its thing. There's no right or wrong to it. It's not good or bad. It's not chaos. It just is. It is what it is. And if we were to take that same perspective in this material world, maybe that might assist us on the mental level and emotional in not getting sucked into the illusion. And saying, wait a minute, okay, whatever's going on over there, that's just what's going on over there. And I can't do anything about it in the physical world, but I can go inside my little closet, as it were, my prayer room internally, and I can begin that process of transforming. Do you have the specific steps people can tap into to assist in the raising of the consciousness, or is that just part of this whole process that you talk about, both in Quantum Touch, the power to heal, as well as the secret nature of matter?
Well, the deepest work, which is what you're really talking about now,
yes,
is the technique I developed that I call self-created health, to teach people how to find and release those emotional causes. And it's a course that we offer now that not only do symptoms go away, but people feel grateful they even had the condition, showing the body had the ability to be sick, not as a dysfunction. But the outer world is a reflection of these experiences. Now, my friends who have taken ayahuasca hundreds of times tell me they've reached a point of awareness where they recognize that every single thing that happens is a synchronicity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
they mm-hmm. see the interconnection of every moment, every intersection of everything is a divine synchronicity. And if you imagine the intelligence that could allow this to occur, and we see it in self-created health, because I will ask a person about 8 or 10 questions, and I ask them over and over again until I get about 40 replies. Every single nuance of their health condition is accurately describing an emotional situation that they did not want to experience. Maybe it was an overwhelming feeling, maybe it was shame or guilt, or rage, anger, hurt, whatever it is, some profound wounding. And then you realize what kind of extraordinary synchronicity is necessary to make sure that every aspect of the condition is a perfect mirror of something that you didn't want to experience, something that you did experience, but it was so painful or difficult that you wouldn't let yourself have that full experience. And then you start to appreciate the divinity, the magic, and the majesty of our woundings, mm-hmm. of our brokenness was actually this gift to allow us to grow and to become more. And this is so radical. It would change our understanding of psychology. But when you put all the pieces together and you actually let yourself think about it at any length of time, and you realize that if I had this exact wounding and I've got this exact health condition and they're a perfect mirror of one another, that there's a deeper intelligence at work. And that's what I'm talking about that leads us to the understanding from all these different perspectives that we could only explain this if we're looking at a deeper reality where we are understanding ourselves to be spiritual beings.
I always found it interesting when I would listen to these call-in prayer programs at the religious station I worked for back in the 80s and early 90s. And I was always struck by the prayers, not so much the specific words that were used, but the fact that you were not able to pray for the healing of someone unless you acknowledged that they had a disease in the first place. And yet that was almost contrary to the mindset that you had to be in. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you can't pray for the healing, and I'm using just as an example, you can't pray for the healing of your broken leg unless you acknowledge you have a broken leg first. But
exactly.
You're taking it to a new level saying, and why did I break that leg? What was the lesson that I was trying to learn through that process? What is the message that is being given to me, maybe from the universe and so forth?
Yes, and here's the deal. We broke it down into seven concise steps.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step is that discovery process where we learn exactly what it was, so much so that the person isn't being convinced that it's true. They know it's true because they've given you 40 answers about the leg. And then you say, well, Let's just take a look. Was there a situation when, you know, say the leg was broken 10 years ago, was there a situation 10 years ago that made you feel desperate, that made you feel hopeless, that made you feel like you could, you know? And I'm just repeating their words back to them. I don't make up any words at all. I'm just repeating back all the things they said to me. And they say, yep, that's true. It's a perfect fit. The glove exactly fits. And then I say, what do you do with those feelings? And they say, they're the ones I never want to feel. And then I hand them the list. And I say, well, maybe you're feeling it in your body instead of feeling it as emotion. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, and then that makes sense to them.
Yeah.
That now they get it. Then the second step is the release. And only after the release are they ready to deal with the responsibility about how deeply they harmed themselves by carrying that energy around for all those years.
Yeah.
And from that awareness, now they're ready to have felt the depth of remorse for having hurt themselves and others. Now we're ready for self-forgiveness. And until then, you can say the words, I forgive myself, but you don't know what you're forgiving. And it's like a mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns into nothing. The whole point of a mantra is that it clears your mind and it doesn't mean anything. You can say any word over and over again, and after a few hundred times, it's a meaningless word. So you can say, I forgive myself a million times, but it has no impact after the first few. But I came up with a method that turns the self-forgiveness into something that's so dynamic. We had one woman who she had been depressed for about 7 years, and two of my students were counselors, and they used this method for the woman. And in the first session, They helped her figure out what she was really angry about, which is the secret of depression anyway, which is anger you feel you get in trouble for expressing. So she got into expressing the anger, which was great. And she came back for another session, and they brought her into remorse. And when it came time to do the self-forgiveness, she said, I can't forgive myself. I feel unforgivable. And they said, great, that's a perfect place to start from. And she said, I can't do this. They said, just stay with it. And after about 8 or 10 minutes, she suddenly realized that she was beginning to pop through into forgiveness. And when she popped through, her depression was gone. She'd been taking medications and everything. But you can't medicate the pain away. The suffering that we've had in our life will not be medicated away. You can dull it, but you can't medicate away your life wounds. Mm-hmm. You need to face them. Or as one friend had this beautiful album, I think it was called Baptism of Fire, and one of the songs, it said, the only way out is through, which is exactly what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We don't avoid it. We dive in and turn it into this extraordinary joy and love.
It's embracing all of who and what we are, acknowledging that who and what we are throughout our lives is okay, and that we need to let, and in order to let that go, that's really where we have to get to, is that it's okay, which is the forgiveness self-forgiveness process.
Exactly.
And then it releases a lot of the I'm going to say stuck energy. You know, it's been blocked. You know, and as you were talking about that, it brought to mind this book I read many years ago called Joy's Way, that described the chakra points, not only the seven main ones.
Dr. Brujoy.
Yes, exactly. And God, I love that book. Especially
that book came out the same time as my Healing Hands book in 1978.
Oh, I can't believe it's been that long. I was 18 at the time.
That book came out in 1978. Yeah, that's great.
Well, it was incredible because not only did it talk about the seven main chakras, but then it began to go through and it showed some drawings and diagrams of the fact that there aren't just seven. Then you start getting to the joints and throughout the body, the knees and the elbows and the shoulders, and there are minor chakra points there. And then all over the body, there are all these different energy points that are smaller and smaller and smaller. And I thought, wow. So what that really said to me was that if you really were to draw the human body with the chakra points, there would be no definition. The whole body would just be glowing.
Well, the whole body is actually glowing, and we do have seven primary chakras, but we also have five other chakras that aren't talked about too much.
Mm-hmm.
And the one chakra represents our connection to source. Another is the soul. Another represents the causal plane of reality, where causes and effects align together. And another one has to do with where things move from possibility into probability. And so we have a technique that we use. We used 10 of the chakras in this technique. And what it does is it helps a person shift a belief from being their most difficult, painful belief to something that seems totally possible. So for instance, I would ask people, there's three primary arenas of your life: health, relationship, and successes. Which one is most challenging for you? They answer it to themselves. And I say, what is the issue that's most challenging in that area? And then state it as a question. And I show them how to formulate it as a question. And I would have, what is the energy and essence of being, doing, or having this thing that they know they can't be, do, or have? That's essentially it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have this group meditation where two or three other people are meditating with them on those different chakras, giving them a lot of love for them to be, do, or have what they want. And what's so remarkable about this 30 or 40 minute process is that it takes people from not believing they could ever have this to saying, oh yeah, that's reasonable, in 30 or 40 minutes. And the people who are meditating with them don't even know what that person wants, because I don't have them communicate that information to each other, because I don't want their judgments to say, well, you want $1 billion? How dare you? You know, they don't, I don't want that judgment coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I don't have people talk about what they want. I just have them sending love. This is the level 2 quantum touch class, where we're working with the heart chakra and love and projecting the energy to be able to work on many different levels. And there's all kinds of amazing things that we can do energetically that we haven't even explored. We can even share gifts, talents, and special abilities with each other directly. So I feel like I've been this crazy pioneer on the fringes, and right now I'm working to make a documentary and to get research done.
Oh,
and
wow.
This is what's most exciting to me is, and by the way, along these lines, I've recently stated a life goal, and I'm going to keep repeating it over and over again because I think it's important to share this particular life goal. I've got a lot of them, but this is one of them. And this life goal is that Quantum Touch be researched at every university, utilized in every hospital, and taught in every school, because this is a basic human ability, and it blows away our notions and our limitations of what's possible. We've had practitioners of countless modalities come in, and they're dumbfounded when they see what they can do with Quantum Touch. And for example, you do Reiki. We have thousands of Reiki people coming in, and many of them continue doing Reiki after they've learned Quantum Touch. And many of them say, well, I don't need to do it anymore. I'm getting such faster results. Or many of them integrate it with it. We found that Quantum Touch can be utilized by any modality, and they can continue doing that modality. It's like a technique without a big ego, because it says, yeah, use whatever you know and join this with whatever you have.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're using breathing and body awareness to raise the vibration of our own body and field of energy. And then we create a field around, it's a very complicated technique we call the where does it hurt technique. And we sandwich the area that's in pain with the energy. And like you said, we allow the body intelligence to do the healing that it wants to do. And we understand very clearly that when two things vibrate at different frequencies, either the lower frequency comes up, the upper frequency comes down, or they meet in the middle. With Quantum Touch, the practitioner is not waiting for the energy. They're bringing it. They're doing this major breathing and body awareness exercises the whole time they're working. So they lift their energy higher and higher and higher. And as a result, they will never get drained from doing a session. But if you move away from your love and gratitude while you're doing a session, it is possible to get drained. And so I've even done Quantum Touch sessions when I was depressed, and they were spectacular sessions where the person felt better, and so did I. And so we are always exploring what are the limits, and then finding out we don't know the limits. And that's one of the most exciting things to me about the whole field, is it's so easy to come up with new discoveries. And we're doing it all the time now.
Wow. You know, back at the religious station, I kept hearing the stories about the end of the world and the revelation and all of that stuff. And I'd heard it for like 8 or 9 or 10 years. And not that I hadn't been exposed to it when I was a kid going through catechism and so forth. And I was really getting frustrated, like, this story is old. I'm just like, so I actually put the question, I said, is there anything I can do, any way that I can help to facilitate the bringing about of all of these dire things in the universe, on the earth, so that we can move beyond this. I am so frustrated with this silly story that I want to help to make it happen, because then the next step is peace and love, and we move on and we raise our consciousness and we stay close to God and so forth. So I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you and I'm going, where do I go to sign up and make this happen so that we can change the world?
Yeah. Well, we
today.
Don't have to destroy it to fix it.
Exactly.
It's sort of like saying, I've got a broken toe. Well, let's break the leg and break the arms, and let's break your back and your neck, and then you won't be in pain anymore because you'll be dead. And I said, well, that's really not very helpful. Thank you very much.
No, it's not.
What we want to do is we want to understand that the process of getting there are the experiences of being there. The steps of getting there are the experiences of being there. If the means is not aligned to the ends, you're crazy. So if you're not doing something that's creating inner peace, you're not creating outer peace. If you're not doing something that makes people feel healed, you're not getting well. You have to create that alignment. And that's the craziness about Revelations, is because people are wanting the end of the world because it's the only solution they can see.
Right.
But when you realize that if I can heal my own internal wounding, connect to love and gratitude, and inspire other people to feel more love and connected to Source, then we're actually moving in the right direction. The steps of getting there are the experiences. If you're end-oriented, that leads to all the insanity we see, where it's okay to lie in order to get what you want. It's not okay to do crazy things to try to get to a sane place.
Yeah.
You can't have a war to end war. You have to have peace to end war.
As the phrase goes, two wrongs don't make a right, but they'll get you off the freeway. And of course, my analogy was more in terms of moving beyond that story to the next step. I knew that even then that there was no end game, that it is a continuum and a progression and so forth. And I thought, God, you've been telling this story for 2,000 years. Aren't you tired
That's
of it
right.
too?
How many generations all have believed that they were the last one, were the most important one?
Yeah.
And here's the deal. The most destructive energies that everybody carries to a greater or lesser degree is self-pity and self-importance. And that is the essence of negative ego. Positive ego is simply an observer.
Yeah. By the way, I share with you an observation that was shared with me on this program by the author of Fear and Love in the Middle East. And this gentleman, he holds interfaith gatherings in the Middle East with all diverse religious perspectives or philosophies, as I like to call them. And what he is finding out from the youth of these various philosophies is they are telling their parents, I want nothing to do with the Hatfields and McCoys feud that you seem to be experiencing with those people over there. That's not my fight. That's yours. Just because I may be of the same blood and lineage doesn't mean that I have to participate in that. That's yours, not mine.
Yes.
And when he shared that, I'm going, hallelujah, there is hope for, there is hope for the world after all. And that is exciting to hear those kinds of words, which leads me to believe that these individuals, these young people, have to some degree, they have raised their consciousness to a place where they realize that not only, as you stated, and many have also stated, that war is unsustainable and won't be sustained, but that they want something different. They want something way different. They know it's there. They have that awareness, and they're going to go after it. And if the parents want to wipe themselves into oblivion, then, you know, mom and dad, I hate to see you go, but bye-bye, because that's not mine. I'd love you to stay and not fight these people, because they haven't done anything to me to justify my doing anything to them in retaliation. So I think that that's fantastic, and we need to learn that lesson here in the West, especially, one, by the way, you mentioned about this whole aspect of synchronicity. There have been a number of movies and television shows that portray that synchronicity so well. They are telling multiple stories at the same time, and then they will show certain scenes where those stories intersect for even if it's just for a second.
Yes.
Or maybe just they almost intersect, and the one person that's coming along drops a $10 bill, doesn't realize it. The other person coming along in the other story sees it, picks it up, and is able to then go do whatever, and it continues. But it's showing that connectedness,
and that's the magic.
It's so fabulous to see.
If you really think about that connectedness, and you don't just see it as a random coincidence, but you see it as the way it's always happening.
Mm-hmm.
That person driving so slowly, and it's making me really angry now. And where was that anger coming from before they were driving slow? There's so much of this kind of thing going on. And if you think about it and really step back, you realize this unfathomable interplay between that it's like a spiritual orchestration on an unconscionable level. It's like, how could this possibly happen? But it's something so far beyond the human imagination of mind and matter.
Oh, I have to say, it's just fabulous. And the more I think about it, the more excited I get. And in spite of everything that's going on around us, whether it's locally or nationally or internationally, I just sit there and I'm going, hey, you know, I've got to release, so to speak, my own demons. I've got to release that blocked energy. I've got to find out why I have the high blood pressure, or I have the pain in the foot, or I have this or that or the other. Learn from it and move forward. I know people also go through the process of these past life regression therapies. And I was reading in this one book that was given to me at the age of 21 by my mentor back in Phoenix. She was actually my acting coach as well. Never went into acting. It was just something that she offered, and I thought it would be interesting to do. And she gave me this book. It's called The Impersonal Life, written back in 1933 by James Benner, I believe it was. And in it, it's God basically talking to you, or the universal power, what have you. And basically, in light of this whole reincarnation thing, says you think that, when you go through these regression therapies, that you're tapping into past lives that you as an individual have lived, when in fact, all you're doing is tapping into the lives of my manifestation in human form down through history. And I thought, okay, but does that change anything as far as learning what it is that I need to learn from that experience that comes up in my mind to get through some of the issues that I'm dealing with in this present life? And I realized it doesn't change a thing. If there are past lives, or if it's just I'm tapping into the manifestations of human lives down through history, I'm still about learning those lessons and raising my consciousness and healing my soul and my mind and my emotions and my body so that I can be a better conduit for others.
They're both true.
Yeah, exactly.
And from my perspective, there are past lives. And it's also true that you can learn everything you need from this one.
True.
Because as a hologram, it's carrying that information. But the easiest way to think about it from my perspective is that if you had a really bad sunburn and your friend happens to slap you on the back, really glad to see you, you go, why did you do that? Now, if you didn't have the sunburn, it might have just kind of taken you by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were already sunburned, wow, that's a big deal that he slapped you like that. Well, the past life is like the sunburn. Yes, the slap also happened, and you can respond to the slap. But the past life will cause us to have an overreaction to a situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can learn about it just from this life, or you can also learn from past lives as well.
This time together here has just been incredible and fantastic. And I encourage you folks that are listening to go to quantumtouch.com, find out more about what to work over the last, 30, 40 years that you've been doing, Richard Gordon?
Over 40 years.
Over 40 years. I started at the age of 17 on what I referred to as my search, and I remember sharing that phrase with people at the religious station who said, oh, well, once you find Jesus, your search is over. And I actually was able to respond to them right away by saying, no, actually, once I find Jesus, my search has just begun.
Yeah, really. That's much better put.
Yeah, and that I found it interesting as well that I was born legally blind and was through this period, and of course they wanted to heal me, and I said I'm appreciative of your desire to do that, but that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to get healed.
Yeah.
I am here to serve, to do the work that I am doing. And if God, the universal power, whatever you want to call him, if God wants to heal me, okay, he knows my number, he knows where I am, he can even call collect, and I will accept the charges, okay? But that's not why I'm here.
Right.
Now, I can do a better job healed of whatever aches, pains, emotional distress, et cetera, that I might have, sure. But at the same time, again, it goes back to it is possible to serve even when one is in that state, but also go through the process, as you have described here on the program, as well as at quantumtouch.com, to free ourselves from those, again, those energy, as I view them, energy blockages, so that we can even be of greater service. I guess one of the greatest phrases I've heard, and this is from people who travel, do survival things, you know, and the first rule is to take care of number one, because if you don't, you can't help 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Exactly.
And so that's what
we're
talking about.
That's why they say put the oxygen mask on yourself first.
There you go. There you go. Before I let you go, I want to thank you so much again for taking so much time here on the program to talk about all of this stuff. I mean, we could go on for hours, I'm sure. As a matter of fact, if you should find yourself drifting up from Los Angeles to the Santa Barbara area, hey, you know, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. This would be fabulous.
That would be really fun. Thank you, Richard. I really appreciate you having me here.
A reminder, of course, that the web address, of course, is quantumtouch.com. And before I let you go, is there, beyond the website, is there anything that you wanted to impart sort of as a final message to our listeners of support, encouragement, or guidance?
Yeah. I would say that if you think about it, you realize that whoever hurt you the most made you feel like your love wasn't valuable and you didn't have any impact. And I would suggest quite the opposite, that your love is incredibly valuable, that it truly matters and it does have impact. And so that you can learn how to focus and amplify it to the best possible effect.
I have three final questions for you here on the program as we wrap things up, and then we will release you to continue the work that you're doing. The first question is, who is Richard Gordon?
An old soul who's on a journey, and it's an amazing adventure.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
I want to change the dominant paradigm of belief in the world. And I want people to realize that their love is our most valuable resource. The life force energy is real. And we can create a new world.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My spiritual growth, evolution of consciousness, learning to love ever more deeply and receive love ever more deeply and be more and more connected to source.
Richard Gordon, once again, thank you. The web address, quantumtouch.com, and we look forward to talking to you again to discuss this further and maybe even to discuss either A, your next book that will be coming out hopefully sometime in the near future, or new discoveries that you've come across. Again, extraordinary program, and again, I thank you for taking so much time to share with us today.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
And a reminder that this program has an afterview, so please go to the website, richarddugan.com. We will link to quantumtouch.com so that you, the listener, can gather more information, do your own research, and study. I encourage you to do that with every program. We lay out a smorgasbord. We're not asking you to eat everything, to take everything. Take what resonates with you. So go to the radio show's page and also go to the afterview, which is part of this interview. and we encourage you to do that. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.